The Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. Patrick Mahomes wins another Super Bowl MVP. It was a wonderful game with a little bit of controversy as well. Let's dive right into it. Mahomes 3rd and 5. All right, James Thwaites, Dave Rush, myself, Simon Hempton here for 3rd and 5. Coming off Super Bowl 57, the Chiefs beating the Eagles 38-35. We'll get into the game first. In a little bit, but James, how did you guys watch it? How did you take it all in?
Took it all in a pub in Brooklyn. Started off the night, great spirits. Another year, another first touchdown scorer bet. So hopefully a few people got on board that. But yeah, we'll obviously dissect the game in a bit. Dave, what did you get up to, mate? Where did you watch it?
So I ended up, I'm in Tulum, Mexico at the moment, and we're in an Airbnb, and so I ended up just watching it. It was a bit of scrambling just before kickoff, trying to work out, it's free to air in Mexico, but, you know, the Airbnb we're at, it's all just set up for the smart TV with all the apps, and none of them had it. And we couldn't just download like Fox Sports. So we were scrambling a little bit, then worked out I could just, you know, stream it live on free-to-air TV on my laptop and then cast it up to the TV. So we got it in time. Otherwise, I think I would have popped down just to like the closest bar I could find. But so I actually sort of watched the game from home. So it was, you know, I got to see everything. You know, normally when you're at the bar, you're sort of socializing. And so it's quite a good way from a pure like love of the game way to watch it. But obviously lacking the atmosphere that a sports bar, especially in America.
It's interesting you say that, because that's one of the things I miss as well. Like on a lot of Sundays, you know, like I'm just sitting here watching games at home by myself and you can really like absorb it all in. Like, you know, I don't know if I will want to go back and watch yesterday's game, but I think I'm going to have to again, just to kind of break it down a bit more. But Si, where do you watch it, mate? You were just at home?
I was at home. Yeah, I was at home. I took it in, same as Dave. I was tempted to come to the pub, but I my real job starts pretty early in the morning, so it was a tough day anyway.
Your real job. That game, this is your real job.
Yeah, that's right. That game, it keeps going on. It was like, I think it was 10:30 by the time it finished. It was probably four and a bit hour. But I agree with the point Dave made there, like, and particularly for Super Bowl, where, you know, you have the whole, all the commercials and stuff. Typically when you're at the pub, certainly the commercials are kind of a non-factor, because it's when, you know, you're really socializing. So, you know, it's cool to see all those. I did miss being out around other people though. But it was interesting to get to watch it. And I thought they had a new announcer as well, Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson. I thought the new announcers did a great job. And so, you know, got to sort of form some opinions on those sort of parts of the whole Super Bowl event that maybe I wouldn't have got to if I'd been at the pub.
And those guys have been like doing a hell of a job all season. They've probably been the best announcing duo.
100%.
And the interesting thing, side plot to this, that's been talked about, is the whole Tom Brady, 10-year, $370 million contract, which he's already come out, which is good from him, and said, I'm not basically coming to the booth next year. So that gives these guys another year at least. But it will be interesting to see
Fox
how that plays out.
Fox don't have it for, yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Fox don't have the Super Bowl for 3 more years.
Generally, because they were doing such a good job that like it seems very harsh to cut one of them.
It would have been Greg Olson as well.
Yeah, Greg Olson.
Like you said, he's done an absolutely fantastic job this year. Like to cut him and put Tom Brady in would kind of suck, because you're like, Greg Olson has not done anything to lose this job. In fact, he's gone above and beyond the expectations.
Like these play-by-play announcers and the color analysts get paid a lot of money, and I don't know if it's as hard as the some of the salaries they get, but it is a hard job. And you've got a guy with Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, who is a proven commodity there and is very good. And I don't know, Tom Brady, amazing quarterback, but very unproven in the booth. And so it's a big call to break up a winning combination to bring in an unproven Tom Brady. But I mean, you're signed into that contract, so you're going to do it anyway, I guess.
Yeah, I think Greg Olsen, like, he's not going to have any shortage of opportunities given how well he's doing and how well it's been received. So if Fox let him go, then I'm sure, you know, and that's the thing with American sports, there's so many different broadcasters that have a piece of the pie. So I'm sure, you know, he'll have somewhere to go.
And speaking of, I guess, other things about people coming and going places and all those things, there's been a bit of heat over the last week. Obviously, Tom Brady retired. I don't know if he ever actually really talked about that on the pod because it came out, you know, 4 or 5 days after we recorded one. But Derek Carr is refusing to accept a trade from the Raiders. So basically, they've got no choice but to cut him. So Derek Carr's going to definitely be on a new team and isn't wanting to burden his team with a forcing draft picks for him. I think the New Orleans Saints are the only one interested. The New York Jets have asked for permission to talk trade with the Packers around Aaron Rodgers. So that's another one. But I think the one that kind of is a little bit funny to me in a kind of hindsight's 2020 way, and Dave probably needs a well-deserved victory lap for this one. Rumors starting to swirl that the Ravens are absolutely open to trading Lamar Jackson. So we will see if Lamar Jackson's on the Ravens next year. Dave, you had several times called that hot take that you think he's already played his last game for a Raven. And I said, there's no way they're trading him, but yeah, very real possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's more than I think anyone, like the Rodgers Jets, you know, that's kind of expected now, but like where Lamar ends up, if he does go somewhere else, and that kind of has a domino effect on the rest of the market, that's probably going to be the most fascinating aspect of sort of this quarterback carousel that we're expecting in the offseason.
Well, I do think as well that we're probably going to find out sooner rather than later what the deal is there, because it does feel like with this Carr news and you know, with the Rodgers reports coming out, that quarterback market will move pretty quickly. And it makes sense, right? Like, these teams are going to want to know who their quarterback is before they go and make the other additions, before they go into the draft. So that will be the first part of the market to move, I suspect. So, you know, Super Bowl wraps up and there's plenty of other storylines to follow going into the offseason. Just before we dive into the actual game, halftime show. What did you make of it?
It was incredible. It was one of the best I've seen. Like, you know, floating above the arena. I don't know how some people do it. I'm scared shitless of heights. There's some venues that I've been to in New York where I'm sitting on like the third level balcony and I like have to move back seats because I feel like I'm going to fall off. But so I don't know how they did it, but it was incredible. What a great use of space as well. I feel like it's always hard for performers to use the full field. But you know, they did really well, you know, big ups Riri.
Yeah. I think, given that she's looked fairly pregnant and has been since announced that she is, I think she did because she's normally quite high energy. So I think they did really well. And come to think of it, when she probably planned this, probably 12 months ago, it might have been a completely different looking show. But I think they used the fact that she couldn't have that high energy performance. They kind of used the dancers to kind of replace that around her. She was kind of kept pretty low key herself. But, you know, everything else around her, the platforms, just the choreography and everything, kind of didn't make you think about that. So I think, you know, she did well. And I suspect adjusted the whole way she did it in the last few months. You know, interestingly.
Yeah, I agree. The dancers definitely put in a heck of a shift. And they were all over the field. Like, this was a proper full field display when you saw them spread out. So that was pretty cool. But let's dive into the game, huh? And I've got a list of topics. So I'm going to just reorder them slightly. And we'll start with the game itself, I guess. The big call is the whole call at the end, right? Like, 35-all, I think it's what the situation was. But that whole call just basically ended the game because the Chiefs could run the clock down and get a field goal with the last kick of the game. But what did you make of that? Did that, like... I mean, I don't really know the rules well enough to make an informed call on whether that was the right call or not. But it's a shame to see a game like this kind of decided on a contentious refereeing decision at the end.
I don't know if the game was decided on it. It's definitely a talking point for sure. I mean, like, I think I'm normally a doom and gloom guy with sports games. You guys both know that now. Like, I will walk out if I think a game's over. I definitely messaged you guys at a certain point just being like, this game's done. Like, the writing was on the wall. Like, just that momentum swing from the Chiefs was insane. You know, like, in the first half, they didn't look like there was anything going for them, really. You know, like, the Eagles were doing great. And then that second half, just everything changed, and it was pretty soul crushing. It's been a really tough week, lads. Like, first we had like KD going from Brooklyn. Now I've had this. So I kind of joked last week that you know, that the Eagles would lose, but you know, there we are. I mean, full credit to the Chiefs. You know, their defense stepped up big time. You know, they weren't as leaky on the run. as I kind of thought they were going to be. And we talked about this last week, where it was the Chiefs needed to shut down their run and just force Jalen Hurts through the air. And for the majority, they did. Like, Jalen Hurts obviously got a lot on the ground. Those short yardage situations, like, the Eagles were just crashing over and doing those QB sneaks, which kind of isn't surprising. But I think the fact that, you know, Patrick Mahomes put up, you know, over 30 points against that Eagles defense, and maybe the writing's been on the wall for that all season. Like, I'm just going back and having a look. Put up 41 against Tampa. They, you know, put 20 up against the Buffalo Bills back when Von Miller was there. But, you know, a bunch of these teams that are you know, have pretty strong core defenses, they've been putting up a lot of numbers on. So.
Well, I actually think, I think it's more the Eagles' defense, I think, put people in a false sense of security. I think they're a sort of team that bully the opposition, and so they make the other teams look pretty average. But they've literally played what I would call average to above average QBs. They played Dak and conceded 40% points. They played Aaron Rodgers and conceded 33 points. Everyone else, you could argue, is in the lower half of QBs through the whole season. So, yes, they're very dominant against everyone, but actually they've conceded points against strong players. And what's his name? Mahomes is the strongest. So
very good point. Very good point. Yeah. Like, looking back at it, you're 100% right, because it's like, apart from Dak, apart from Aaron Rodgers, like, you know, you're looking at Daniel Jones, you're looking at whoever the hell, you know, was the quarterbacks of Pittsburgh, Houston, Washington, and the Colts. Like, I mean, they obviously went up against Kirk Cousins, and we all know how Kirk Cousins is. So, yeah, very good point.
But just going back to what you I guess, Simon, the point around the officiating, like, I've read a lot about it. Like, I think the player, is it Bradbury? He actually kind of came out and said, yes, it was a hold, but often these aren't called. The way I kind of think about it is the ref has to, you know, sometimes they'll talk about officiating, you just got to treat it like you got to drown out the noise and treat it like individual play, like, is it a, you know, is it a hold or is it not a hold? But in this situation, you have to consider the situation in the game. There'd been worst holds, actually, from Bradbury on Juju. There's a really bad one, I thought, in a third down in the first half, wasn't called. So they're not consistent for a start. And you just don't want to be, like, if he didn't call it, it's field goal. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles have about a minute 40, you know, to try and go up the field and at least get a field goal to tie it. I don't, and if, let's say they did that and then they go on to win the game, I don't think we're talking about the fact that there was a hold not called. And I feel like they need to be thinking like that. Like, if I call this or don't call this, is this going to become a focal point? Clearly calling it, you end the game, like, in terms of that situation, that first down. Even if Juju caught it and was scored a touchdown, that actually would have been better for the Eagles because they would have had the ball and plenty of time. So I'm sure Juju would have been smart enough to, like, go down before the line, if he had caught it, if there was no hold and it was catchable. But yeah, I just feel like the officiating, they have to factor in the situation and not be a part of it. And yeah, so letter of the law, maybe yes, it is a hold, but it shouldn't, in that situation, that's pretty much not being called all game. Why change it, you know, in more or less the last play of the game?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, right? Like, and it's tricky for the ref to sort of be weighing all that up and such a, you know, split second decision for them to make. But Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the point you make there that if the Chiefs had got a field goal and Eagles won, like those marginal calls happened throughout the game, probably. And you know, I don't know if that would be such a focal point as you say. So that is an interesting point.
Yep.
Anything else on the refs? Wait, you're not salty as an Eagles fan?
Not salty against the refs. I'm more pissed off with the Eagles and the defense, to be honest.
I think it's very appropriate in this season where it does seem to have been just like quite inconsistent officiating. So it doesn't surprise me. I agree with Flint. I don't think it's of itself. I don't think it, compared to say there was a lot of noise around the Bengals Chiefs game, right, with that late hit, which I don't think people would really argue was. But I think it shouldn't be the main talking point of this match. I think, and we'll get into it around, you know, what Mahomes and Reid in particular were able to do. That should be more of the focus.
Correct. And I think, like, as an Eagles fan, like, I sit there and I mean, like, it's clear to me. You put up 11 points on the Chiefs in the second half and they put up, you know, 24 on you. Like, that's the problem. It's not officiating. It's your defense got found the hell out. And,
you become the second team in Super Bowl history to take a 10-point lead and lose into halftime and then lose the game. But, you know, obviously the Falcons-Patriots legendary 28-3 game is the other one.
You know, you go into halftime, 10 points up, and Mahomes is hobbling off in quite a bit of pain. And you wonder if there's a slight, you know, taking the foot off the gas, even mentally, coming out of that. And for the Chiefs, as soon as they sort of get back into that, then as sort of Thwaites touched on earlier, momentum just all on their side. And they can ride that home. But let's we'll talk about the kind of the two teams. And you touched on the Eagles a little bit earlier. So let's talk about them first, and in particular Jalen Hurts, because he, you know, it's tough to go out and put in a performance like that. It was three rushing touchdowns. He had a huge touchdown down to AJ Brown. He had a pretty good game.
He had a great game. That's kind of like the thing that sucks about all this is you walked into this. If you're an Eagles fan and said, right, we got a quarterback who's been pretty lights out all year. He's obviously had a shoulder injury. That's kind of questionable, but we know this guy can run the ball well. We know he can throw the ball well. We've got three outstanding receivers, and we've got a bunch of running backs that we can utilize throughout the game. Jalen Hurts, like, obviously made that fumble, which resulted in the touchdown, defensive touchdown to the Chiefs early on, which looked bad. I don't know what he was trying to do, whether he was trying to swap the ball to the other side of his body or what. But in my head, I'm not sitting there blaming Jalen Hurts. I think, you know, like, he's been excellent this year. You know, the AJ Brown trade has been even better for him. And on, you know, only onwards and upwards, I think, for him. It's going to be interesting to see what he gets paid. I kind of hold my breath a little bit on that one, but you know, going for over 300 yards without throwing an interception. I realize he got the fumble, rushing for 70 yards, three rushing touchdowns as well. So he's resulted in four touchdowns for his team. So good on him.
Yeah,
I think
you go, son.
You go. Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, and this is not really much of a question, mate, is whether, like, you know, this next step for your franchise quarterback, can he deliver on the bigger stage? And yeah, they lost the game, but I think now the Eagles will go into the future years and be like, yeah, this guy can deliver on the bigger stage against the biggest team and go out and try and put the team on his back. It just happened that they couldn't get the job done. But I don't think you could have really asked for much of a better performance from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he I think what probably shows a lot about his like character and how far he's come and how good he is. That fumble touchdown, which did look bad and came at a bad time. The next, you know, they obviously got the ball back and he led a, you know, seven, I just had a look, 7-minute 12-play drive, and they went straight and scored to go take the lead back. So that says a lot to be able to just sort of shake that off on the biggest stage and just, you know, back to work and be as effective as he was. I was the rushing side of things, they've got such a good O-line, which we've all talked about a lot. I wasn't sort of surprised at that, but some of his throws, that touchdown pass to AJ Brown was an absolute peach. Like he put where he put it, it was only AJ Brown could catch it. You know, it was perfect. Throw, and that was a 50 yard throw. That was amazing. He threw a couple of brilliant like third down. The thing is, watching that game, where I thought the Eagles might get up, even when they're in the second half when they were sort of back against the walls, they were so good at converting third down. Yes, I know there was a couple of like questionable completions with the Goddard one and whatever, but just third and 15s, third and eights, they were just constantly converting. And it was mainly on the back of Hurts, just putting them perfectly, you know, where they needed to be. And then also when it was 35, 33, 2-point play, that was just a straight, like, I'm getting this done. And it wasn't a sneak or anything. That was just such good, like, you know, ability from him to just sort of put his head down and do that. So, yeah, I for one, have like definitely think Hurts, you know, as a Cowboys fan, I'd love to have Hurts. You know, I think Dak's not bad as well, but like, yeah, if you're an Eagles fan, you're definitely going to be optimistic about what he's shown this year.
He's definitely proved a lot of the doubters wrong, you know, like, so, I mean, it's good to see. It's just, yeah, it's disappointing that a lot of the rushing yards had to go through him, you know. I don't know if Miles Sanders got lit up in like the first or second play of that game, because the fact that they used Gainwell, Sanders, and Scott all pretty sparingly, and you know they weren't able to get many rushing yards, is, you know, kind of disappointing. And the fact that a lot, you know, Jalen Hurts had to rush 15 times with a 28 yard long rush attempt there, so that's kind of disappointing. But you know, as the Eagles fans, you've got to be happy that Jalen Hurts moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I sort of mentioned in our group chat, like, this would have to be talked about in, you know, probably top three greatest performance by a losing quarterback. I'd imagine it's probably the greatest fantasy performance by any quarterback, potentially in a having three rush touchdowns. But yeah, that you know, I think the Tom Brady one, that when they lost to the Eagles a few years ago, I think he threw up something like 500 yards. So clearly that's probably up there as well. But, you know, that says a lot. So and for it to be in on the biggest stage on his first, you know, first crack. So
it's also ridiculous to me that the Chiefs had more rushing yards than the Eagles. But that makes no sense. If either one of you told me that was going to happen before this game, I would have laughed at you. Here we
probably,
are.
Probably
how many rushing yards did Pacheco get? Pacheco looked great, I thought.
Pacheco was great, and he's been great, you know, all year, like 76 yards. We literally spoke about this last week. We were like, you know, Pacheco's a monster. They're going to try rush and, like, you know, use Pacheco a lot on the ground, shut him down. And they couldn't. You know, they couldn't stop the guy.
And it's just crazy to think he's seventh round. That's just that argument. And because that is one of, if you're talking about some of the key reasons why the Chiefs were able to get this done, that running game, 100%, that was so effective throughout the night. And to think he's a seventh-rounded rookie, like, that is production you just would not have expected, and is a big reason why the Chiefs got to this point and then got over the line.
Yep, 5 yards carry. That's kind of what you need. So, let's stick with the Chiefs then. What does this do for Patrick Mahomes' legacy? And does the ankle injury play into this? Is he now, I mean, I think he's solidified as the best quarterback in the game right now, but, you know, and his long-term legacy is still getting built. But, you know, to win a Super Bowl against a very good Eagles team that threw everything at them, including a tremendous quarterback performance, as we've just talked about, basically with a sprained ankle, is I think, his best Super Bowl win yet.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you sit back and think about it. Patrick Mahomes is 27. He's already got two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, two regular season MVPs, and he's been in the Pro Bowl selection 5 years running, which is all 5 years he's been in the league, I believe. That's insane. Like, already people are being like, is he going to, you know, chase down Tom Brady's thing? Is he the greatest player, you know, quarterback we're going to ever see? I think hands down, I'll admit he's definitely one of the top three best passing quarterbacks you would have ever seen so far, you know, with Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers being the other ones. It's obviously a bit too early to say that he's going to get, you know, as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, but hey, what a great way to start your career. You know, with Andy Reid by his side, you know, this feels like a, you know, the start of this Belichick Brady kind of dynasty, and it's only going to keep getting better and better and better. Like the fact that Patrick Mahomes was able to do what he did yesterday and throughout the playoffs and throughout the season with no Tyreek Hill and just really Travis Kelce, who's normally always in double coverage, manages to break free, manages to power over, and guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's been completely inconsistent, MVS, who's been in and out with injuries, and then a bunch of other guys. Like, it's absolutely insane. Like, full credit to Patrick Mahomes. It's excellent. Watching what he did throughout the season, like, that's an absolute masterclass.
Yeah, he's only 27, and you talked about he's now two-time regular season MVP, two-time Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl MVP. Only two other players in history have done that, Tom Brady and Joe Montana. So he's already in that sort of club. And so, I mean, that probably kind of speaks volumes for where he's already at 27. And if they could do it this year with their sort of, you know, they got rid of Tyreek Hill, who got paid $30 million in Miami, and just sort of pulled together a lot of these sort of like kind of, what would you call them, guys that have been like dropped by other teams, or, you know, like Tony and cast-offs, yeah. And pulled them together and just, yeah, incredible. So if they can continue sort of drafting well, there's no reason why we wouldn't expect them to be in many more Super Bowls in the sort of coming decade.
Well, the question for me is two-pronged. One, Andy Reid, there's some chat that there's like some retirement chat from Andy Reid. He's 54. He said after the game that he enjoys what he's doing, but he is getting old. So you wonder how, you know, maybe Reed's hanging around still, but is not, you know, in this for another decade. And then Travis Kelce's 34 at the start of next season. So, you know, I think he's still got a few more years left in him, but and he's certainly been the, you know, the safety valve for Patrick Mahomes, you know, his get out of jail card. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the futures of those two when they come up. How does Kansas City, how do Mahomes continue to build, you know, without those two?
Yeah, I think Andy Reid, obviously, I think you said size 65 or something like that. You know, there's definitely older coaches in the NFL. You know, you got Pete Carroll at 71 years of age and things like that. So I think the only reason that Andy Reid wouldn't be coaching is because of his health. I think he really loves it.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he left.
Like he continues as long as he wants to go at this point, basically. Like,
we should acknowledge some of that play calling. I think that was one of my six reasons why the Chiefs were going to win. And there were two touchdowns there in the second half where it was Tony, I can't remember who got the bun before, but they were just the most wide open players in the history. It was like it was the Philly special from years gone back. But it was more straightforward than that. But it just, I don't know what the Eagles defense did wrong in terms of the blown coverage, but that's obviously a play calling masterclass there rather than, you know, Patrick Mahomes' class in those situations.
Yeah, nice little victory lap there too, Dave.
Yeah.
Good calls from you.
Go back to it, mate. There's pretty much every reason.
No, I mean, yeah. Ahead then, so for 2023-24 for the Eagles and Chiefs, I mean, they're going to be pretty good next year too. Let's start with the Eagles. Where do they need to go in the offseason, in the draft? They've got a pretty high draft pick, don't they?
Yeah, got a couple. Someone else from the Saints.
Yeah, so they can really attack the draft. Where would you be spending your draft capital, spending your money in free agency?
I think one of the things that you're going to spend draft capital on is finding a new Kiwi to support the Eagles. I think I this is obviously a little bit of a pivot, but I think I'm done supporting the Eagles in all honesty. I think
can't do that.
No, you can't.
Where are you going?
Absolutely. I think I would probably support the Jets. You know, they're just a bit more closer to home. Like, the Eagles fans, like, Philadelphia fans are just, you know, they're up there with Boston with just being some of the worst. Like, they tore their city apart yesterday. The fact that they booed Dak Prescott when he's getting paid a Walter Payton Man of the Year or, you know, after what he's gone through. It's just kind of classless shit like that. And it's like, it's all fun and games and stuff like that. But, you know... all the best to them. But it
is easier to hate the Eagles. Not so much Jalen Hurts. I think he's actually got the most class of anyone in that city. But, all of their sports teams, they're pretty unlikable. So,
yeah, and it's just like, you know, I've got no link to Philly. So I think it's better finding off a team closer to home. So maybe it's Jets, Nets, Mets. But
are you waiting for, like, actually, you've announced the Jets. Maybe you could wait till... next year and be like, oh, maybe the Bengals, maybe the Bills.
I want to support a team that's closer to home. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like, I don't want to support the Giants. I hate the Giants. So, what do you do if you're the Eagles moving forward? I think, you know, you obviously make sure Devontae Smith and, you know, AJ Brown still on your team. That AJ Brown trade has been absolutely magical for the Eagles. Tight end, you've got Dallas Goedert locked up. Your O-line, there's obviously going to be some questions around Jason Kelce in the offseason, if he'll retire or not. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe you need to bolster up your O-line a bit more. Miles Sanders is a free agent in the offseason. So if I'm the Eagles, I'm like, can we do this with Gainwell and Boston Scott? Or is, you know, we're going to try to re-sign Sanders? Miles Sanders obviously had a great year, but he's been pretty inconsistent over his time in Philly. For me, though, like, just in those divisions and after seeing what happened in that Super Bowl, you're going to need to keep building around your defense. So that, for me, is where the Eagles should be spending those early first-round draft picks.
Yeah, the big thing from what I'd be most interested in is the O-line, right? The O-line has been has there ever been a more dominant O-line in the NFL? And Jason Kelce? I think he's pushing mid to late 30, might be 36, if I had to guess, maybe a little younger. And Lane Johnson, like, they're both guys who's obviously had playing through injury. Them coming back or not coming back or whatever, that's going to be a huge part of, you know, where this team goes. They're going to have to probably pay. Maybe they've got one more year of Jalen Hurts before they have to re-sign him. So I do think they're kind of they've got to be looking at next year as a really great opportunity. After this year as well, it becomes a bit more challenging when you've paid a quarterback big money to be able to have the rest of the pieces, as we've seen in the past. So I think they're well positioned, especially in the sort of weaker NFC, you know, without Tom Brady, most likely without Aaron Rodgers. You know, that NFC is very wide open next year. So I think it's Philadelphia. If you're looking at the odds for favorite of the NFC, Eagles have to be streaks ahead. So I don't think they have to do a huge amount. That's probably assuming Kelce and Johnson come back. And then it would be as much as anything as keeping all the pieces that they had this year. That's the focus. And obviously probably drafting, looking into the future in terms of where players are getting on. So maybe you are looking at getting drafting a new center to replace Kelce in the nearest future.
Yeah, and their whole NFC thing is kind of potentially a little bit of a problem. Their run to the Super Bowl was pretty straightforward this year in the playoffs, and I think the NFC, as you say, it's going to be, you know, the Eagles are pretty clear favorites, barring any big moves in the offseason. I had the 10th overall pick in the draft as well, which is a bit of a rare thing for a Super Bowl team to pick that high. So the 10th pick and the 32nd pick, so a couple of, a couple of first-round picks for them. What about the Chiefs? The Chiefs don't have the benefit of a high draft pick, but they are also the defending champion, so they arguably have less to do. But the thing for the Chiefs, when you look at them, is that you wonder about their division and where that's going to go, because you don't know what the Raiders are going to do at quarterback now that Derek Carr's out and you know, who they bring in there. you've got the Broncos have now brought in a new coach, and whether they can turn into a formidable opponent with Sean Payton there. And I think the Chargers will probably get better or continue to be a competitive team. So I'm interested to see how that division goes and you know, how the Chiefs sort of respond in there.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. And, you know, I grimaced a little bit just kind of thinking about us talking about that division prior to the season. Because, you know, it's, hey, we all thought it was tough. Like, a bunch of us thought, like, the Chiefs were going to come third in that division and that, you know, like, the Broncos and Chargers were going to beat them out or things like that. That obviously didn't happen. I just think, like, after what's happened with this Chiefs team, the fact that they've got Andy Reid there, they've got guys that want to play there, I think it's probably going to happen what happened with Brady when he went to Tampa, which is players are going to want to go potential ring chasing towards the end of their career, and they're going to go want to play with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, the way that they've played this year with the receivers that they did and, you know, the defense that they did, like, and they've made it work and they've, you know, absolutely crushed some of these teams. It's only going to get better for them here on out. So the only scary thing for me, if I'm a Chiefs fan, Patrick Mahomes and his health. Obviously that high ankle sprain was pretty rough. And then at the end of the second quarter, that game was so close to being a bust if Patrick Mahomes was out and Chad Henne had to go in at quarterback. So I think just making sure that your quarterback stays healthy, get him on that TB12, you know, training method, keep him, being healthy and fit. And only good things can continue to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think their offensive line did so well yesterday. Like, I don't remember both teams really, but I don't really remember seeing a sack in the game. So, and certainly not Mahomes. And so, even though he's hobbling around, and we know, we don't know how close to full fitness he was, but you know, they remember he got like absolutely murdered by the Bucks a couple of years ago because their O line just couldn't hold up, and they've obviously addressed that, and they continue to sort of bolster that, because end of the day, you've got your franchise QB, you've got to look after him. This is pretty much a template for every team, right? Jags, you've got Trevor Lawrence. Now you just got to make sure you've got the O line that will protect him. You know, that just needs to be rolled out by everyone. And so the Chiefs, as you say, like, that's the biggest disaster. That's always going to be their concern. If Mahomes goes down in December out for the season, then you could probably write them off pretty much 99 times out of 100. So yeah.
The other thing that's kind of weird here as well is, like you said, with the drafting, they got Pacheco. I can't remember the Patrick Mahomes playing with a running back that's actually been able to do what Pacheco did. Obviously, they had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is kind of a bit of a flash in the pan. Yeah. He was a healthy cut, I think, from the Super Bowl yesterday. So finally, they've got a good running back that they can have in there. So, like, you know, imagine if the Chiefs pulled off trading for DeAndre Hopkins or something like that, and he ends up there next year. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a scary team moving forward, that's for sure. But the AFC is scary as hell as well.
I think we're at the point where we just don't write them off. Like, even if they did nothing, I'd still think that the Chiefs are going to be there or thereabouts. I mean, they lost their star wide receiver last offseason. Didn't bring in a ton more and finished 14-3 and won the Super Bowl. So I think at this point, provided Kelce Mahomes are healthy and Andy Reid there, I think this this Chiefs team is going to be there or thereabouts come Super Bowl time, which is going to be fun. So speaking of Super Bowl next year, Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas at the Allegiant Stadium. Give us a prediction for teams and winner for Super Bowl 58 about 1 year out, 364 days out.
I'm going to be real boring here. I'm going to say Chiefs and then Chiefs 49ers. So we'll see what happens there. I just think the 49ers, like, they have the ability to slot in a quarterback and just run away with the NFC. Obviously, the Eagles should be second favorites in the NFC, but and they'll have a chip on their shoulder and go out with something to prove, but San Francisco has been kind of there or thereabouts for so many years now. I just think they kind of get sick of it and make a big play for a quarterback and just go for it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. And that would be a repeat of what, the Super Bowl maybe 4 years ago? Chiefs' first one?
Yeah, you got it.
I'm going to go Bengals 49ers with the Bengals winning. I think, I mean, the AFC is just so competitive and so tough. I think the Bengals have obviously been there or thereabouts for the last two seasons. I kind of feel like it's a matter of time, matter of when, not if, when Burrow and the Bengals kind of get that Super Bowl win. So I think, again, that's not, I mean, I don't think we're going to be doing ones that are wildly surprising. There's clearly a number of teams that are in that contention spot. I was very close to going Eagles over the 49ers. I think that's a bit of a flip of a coin. I don't think that's by any means straightforward to predict either. But yeah, they're clearly the two in the NFC.
Well, this is fucking boring. Do we have any wildcard teams? I would like the Jets, maybe.
Chargers or Jets.
Okay, here you go. Okay, if you want some like hot takes on like who I think will legitimately get up there and kind of surprise everyone a little bit. From the NFC, I'd say Detroit. Detroit are going to bolster their defense a lot, so they could, you know, very much. I mean, they were spoilers to Green Bay Packers, you know. I think they could be a sneaky bet, and, you know, they're an exciting team to watch, I think, as well. So that would be me from the NFC. I don't think anyone else in there is going to legitimately be a, you know, massive surprise. You know, Dallas probably needs to get a bit better on offense and continue to shore up their defense. But for me, underdog, that could potentially go the way on NFC is definitely the Detroit Lions. The only thing on the AFC, Jacksonville, let's go. You know, from the, it is Trevor Lawrence really clicked with his entire team. They've got Travis Etienne, who's just, you know, taking that next step up. They have Calvin Ridley joining their team next year. Again, like, they just need to get a bit better on the defense side of the ball, which they'll probably do around draft. And for me, that would be them. The other kind of curveball in the AFC is far more interesting than the NFC next season, I think. The other curveball is my Jets.
But you're biased, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but seriously, the Jets, because the Jets have been drafting really well for a few years now. Their problems are at quarterback. So if they make a move and either trade for Rodgers, I don't know if you want to risk, you know, years and years of future draft picks and some young guys for Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Jimmy G, if they get in one of these veteran quarterbacks and can build a good system, Robert Salah's like absolutely fantastic head coach. So I think they would be one to watch for the AFC for me.
I think you throw
you're going to get someone for sure.
You throw the kitchen sink again in Rodgers, because they've got everything else. They just, if they can get someone of that caliber, they've literally got the team on paper that can do it. So the Jets have never had a better opportunity of winning a Super Bowl or going that far than they do since when they did well in the 80s.
Do you know what I'm just kind of like dying inside a little bit realizing? Like, as a Brooklyn Nets fan, we just got rid of all the drama that was Kyrie Irving. Imagine going and starting supporting the Jets and all this drama arrives in the form of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if my heart can take it, but hey, he's a good quarterback.
I actually really love your Jacksonville shout as well, and would actually put them as a dark horse to get the top seed in the AFC.
They've got the favourable division, right?
The South is going to be terrible this year, and basically all the other divisions are going to be tough. So potentially there. So that's a maybe. As far as a pick, I'm going to go Bengals Eagles if we're doing a safe pick. But I like your
the other one, I mean, like I said, the AFC is far more interesting than the NFC when you start looking at that. Like, the Chargers, they obviously had injury problems throughout the year. Keenan Allen's realistically going to get cut from that team because they just don't have enough cap space. So that'd be one to watch. But I don't know if they're going to be able to have enough pieces around Herbert to make a deep run. Obviously, you got those question marks around Baltimore, like what the hell's happening with Lamar Jackson? Are they committing? Are they not committing? Pittsburgh seems to be rising the ranks.
Where Lamar goes.
Yeah, exactly. Because you feel like if you're a quarterback, they want
good. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a quarterback, like, I don't want to be stuck in the AFC. I want to go to the NFC because the NFC seems
definitely.
Yeah. The other,
you're Lamar, and you go to the New York Giants or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the other big curveball that's sitting out there is like, is Deshaun Watson going to come back to Deshaun Watson form for the Browns? Because the Browns have had good defense. But yeah, like I said, AFC is far more interesting when you start looking at kind of those underdogs and teams that could take that leap than the NFC, in my opinion.
Who's going to play halftime show next year?
So I had a thought about this. So it's Vegas, right? I think they should do like a homage to like...
Maybe Celine Dion?
So Celine, but it should be like a residency, like a not just one person. So, you know, who's like, I think they'd have to do like a Elvis hologram, or maybe get Austin Butler to do the Elvis show. Celine Dion. I'm pretty sure like Elton John did a mammoth residency. So you could kind of just do some iconic Vegas residency mashup. Like, I don't know how easy that, you know, obviously this is just spitballing, but I feel like it has to have a link to Vegas. There's obviously like Tony Bennett as well, but he's about 98. Yeah, so
get Siegfried and Roy out there with a line and just send it into the crowd. See what happens.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, okay. Who knows? You could probably find in the bookies the odds. Has Adele done it? It's probably just going to be, you know, Harry Styles, one of those big pop.
Adele.
Ooh, Harry Styles is a good one.
Harry Styles, Olivia Rodrigo. You wanted to skew younger. I don't know. It'd be something like that.
It does need to have someone.
I like the tying it into the local thing, though.
Yeah, it does need to be someone someone that needs to have been around. Like you realized yesterday, Rihanna's had a ton of hits. I mean, she probably went through about 10 songs. So like, you can't have someone that's. So maybe Harry Styles is too early in his career, comparatively.
Yeah, it does. I think they want people that sort of cross multiple generations as well to keep as many people interested. But yep, countdown's on. 364 days to go. Already looking forward to it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Don't know what we're going to talk about. Probably NBA and probably the NFL off season.
And pickleball maybe. NFL what else?
Pickleball, maybe. Yeah, something like that. The NFL season's been wild. It feels like just yesterday that it was just getting started. So, and we were doing those weekly previews of each division. So, as always, a fly's bite. Can't wait to do it again next season. But we'll be back next week with another episode.